I'm Michael Hernandez. News time is 7:45. Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows that New Mexico has fallen off of the list of top 10 states for fatal overdoses. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports the state was among the top 10 for two consecutive years, but fell to 12th for 2016, according to CDC data posted last week. Last year, New Mexico's rate for drug overdose deaths fell to about 25 per 100,000 people. That's still above the national average of about 20 deaths per 100,000. The CDC says the East Coast is seeing a surge in overdose deaths. A study released this month by the U.S. Geological Survey found that water in the Rio Grande Aquifer System, which begins in Colorado and runs through New Mexico and into West Texas, has high concentrations of some harmful minerals. But as Bela Metzger reports, many of these are naturally occurring.
According to the USGS, the mineral found in the highest concentration in the Rio Grande Aquifer System is arsenic.
Arsenic is naturally present in the rocks and sediments of the area, and so it can be released under certain conditions that are favorable to that.
Laura Bexfield is a hydrologist with the USGS. She says it's pretty common for arsenic to be found in water that's been exposed to sediment over a long period of time. Another highly concentrated mineral found in the aquifer is chloride concentrate, which can affect how water tastes. But Bexfield is quick to note that the water samples in this study had yet to be treated, so the water quality is not an indication of what people are actually drinking. Still, these findings will help water suppliers understand what's in the aquifers so they can treat it and manage it. The study did not find any man-made elements that would make the water unhealthy to drink. In West Texas, I'm Bela Metzger.
Since August, teams of negotiators representing the U.S., Mexico, and Canada have been working out details in the North American Free Trade Agreement. Fronteras reporter Jorge Valencia reports.
Ken Smith Ramos is Mexico's lead negotiator. He's a sharply dressed man with rectangular glasses and diplomas from two of the world's top international business schools, Georgetown and Johns Hopkins. He started his career as part of Mexico's original NAFTA negotiating team 25 years ago, and he's worked in international trade ever since.
Sí, no, muchísimas gracias, Dr. Vega.
In a rare lecture at the elite College of Mexico, he went straight to the point. Why does this deal matter?
Las exportaciones estadounidenses,
for example, there's food. Agricultural trade has grown five times over during NAFTA. The U.S. sends lots of agricultural exports to Mexico. Think corn, think beef. And Mexico, in turn, sends produce to American tables all year round. Yes, avocados, but also zucchinis, also strawberries. Eventually, Smith Ramos gets to the more interesting part. What's the drama? Some of the pressure points were voiced by Donald Trump since he was a candidate. They include that overall, the U.S. buys more from Mexico than the other way around. Trump has repeatedly threatened to withdraw from the agreement. Smith Ramos says Mexico's political strategy is to lobby the more amicable parties in the U.S.
Basically, at the end of the day, it's a combination of having the U.S. private sector, U.S. civil society, and of course the U.S. Congress voice their opinion on the benefits of the NAFTA.
In other words, Mexico is borrowing a strategy coined by former U.S. House Speaker Tip O'Neill. All politics is local. Smith Ramos himself met with Governor Doug Ducey earlier this month, and members of Congress have gotten visits from Mexican diplomats or corporations with interests in Mexico, though not all members of Congress.
Hi there, this is David.
Arizona Republican David Schweikert sits on the U.S. House Ways and Means Committee. That's the first panel that will need to approve any deal. And he hasn't met with any Mexican officials.
I have a bit of an excuse for that. This year has been almost solely taken up by the rewrite on the tax code.
But as it turns out, congresspeople like Schweikert don't need much convincing.
Look, I have a personal fixation that math is math, and math should always trump folklore.
Schweikert says he knows 90,000 jobs in Arizona are directly dependent on trade with Mexico. He says he's aware that many Arizona businesses depend on Mexican imports and exports. He says some politicians wrongly attribute the decline in manufacturing jobs to trade.
I've also grown to believe that part of the negotiation has a little bit of a theatrical feel to it.
That's the territory of trade agreements. They've gotten more theatrical.
Wells Orr was an assistant U.S. trade representative during the original NAFTA talks.
My job was to interface with the leadership in the House and the Senate on a regular basis, keeping them apprised of what our negotiators were doing.
Orr says many Democrats didn't want Bill Clinton to sign the original agreement because they opposed provisions on labor and the environment. And Orr says that, yes, political pressure does make a difference, even political pressure from outside the U.S.
Only to an extent. I mean, the most important audience to U.S. legislators, of course, are U.S. businesses that are directly affected by the renegotiated agreement.
One of the negotiation's most controversial provisions is over what percentage of parts that go into a car get made in the U.S. Orr says that if NAFTA is indeed renewed, those sensitive deals will be made at the very end. The next round of talks is next month. In Mexico City, I'm Jorge Valencia.